Welcome back, Richard. It's good to see you this morning, sir.
Morning.
Been
Good
a
morning. Let's see. Nothing new to report.
no, it's been a it's been a fun and exciting weekend, and everybody is set for the last few weeks of school. And
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
but you know what our topic for this week is very fitting for as we enter the last weeks of the school year. And we're going to talk today about a little bit about anxiety.
Right. There's a much in the news today about the increased rates of depression and anxiety in the country. Typically, people say since the pandemic, but I think all of us are beginning to realize that these rates of depression and anxiety have been going up. They've been going up for years prior to the pandemic. Pandemic was in 2019 and 2020. These rates started to get rise in probably as early as 2010. I think all the signs were there in 2010, 2012. It's interesting. They talk about anxiety and depression in young children, the increases in young children, in teenagers, in young adults, older adults. It's almost as though each age group has its own expression and unique problems with anxiety and depression. What struck us about this one is that there happened to be this article from Forbes, which is a pretty business-oriented kind of thing. And the article was that the World Health Organization has advised global leaders, including business leaders, to increase their attention to mental health and well-being. And typically, by the time something gets the attention of corporate leaders, you know that it's pretty prominent in the culture. And now we have the World Health Organization saying to business leaders and political leaders, we need to attend to this mental health and well-being. The increases are so alarming that corporations are beginning to respond, and they're making mental health of their employees their number one priority, which
Right.
is, this is at a time when educators are struggling with a social emotional learning. We're trying to get that into the schools. People are resisting, and yet corporations are beginning to make this priority number one.
I think that's a great example of what you how you led that off with the idea that by the time it gets to the corporate, corporations and such
Right.
as the Forbes and things like that, it's you know that it's getting significant. And we've been talking about social emotional learning for a couple of years now, at least. And now as that debate and those issues continue to increase, now here we are talking about, okay, in corporations, and people should recognize that when Forbes is talking about it, one of the reasons they're talking about it is because it's hurting the bottom line of companies.
Exactly.
Because
That's
of
what they're saying.
missed work days, because of the increased demands on people's emotional and physical well-being, that they're encouraging business owners and business leaders to do something about this for their employees simply because it's going to hurt their business.
That's right. That's what they're concerned about, because you have high rates of absenteeism, you have demoralization of workers, you have workers taking days off, workers who don't want to return to the office, who want to continue working from home. I mean, there are all sorts of tentacles there that businesses are trying to deal with, but they realize that the increasing rates of depression and anxiety are affecting their bottom line, because they're affecting the way workers are approaching their work. Notice too that we talk about depression and anxiety together, because these two things do go together, and in some cases are indistinguishable. And so we talk about anxiety, but we're also always talking about depression, because we know that the two are linked chemically, but we know they're linked functionally as well. And so we want to talk mainly about, now we're going to, in future podcasts, we're going to talk about anxiety in different age groups, because it does manifest differently in different age groups. So there was a recent article about anxiety in young adults, ages 19 to 30 or 20 to 30, and they have a unique set of anxiety producing circumstances, as do teenagers, as do children, as do older adults, and the geriatric population. We're going to talk about those, but what we want to do today is we want to talk about managing anxiety presently, managing anxiety now, because as much as we talk about it, people who are experiencing severe symptoms of anxiety need relief immediately. And that's what we want to talk about today is how do we give those people relief immediately? And you mentioned the end of the school year. This is a very anxiety-producing time of the academic year for any level of education. You have college students who are worried about their grades and getting assignments and final exams. High school students worried about the end of course exams. Will they pass them? Middle school students, am I going to be promoted? Elementary school students. So again, at each level, you have anxiety-producing circumstances at the end of the school year.
Absolutely. And the typical presentation, people come in to our offices often complaining about anxiety and just stress and this just overwhelming feeling of stress and fear. And sometimes people will present with phobias or they'll present with what they will call panic attacks. But really what we're just talking about is this sort of cluster of symptoms that make it difficult to function sometimes because they feel overwhelmed. They feel as though they can't regain control, oftentimes of their own body, of their own thoughts, because they just sort of they have this cascade of symptoms and thoughts that they just seem can't seem to wrestle together and take back control of themselves. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some a few techniques to help with that sort of in the immediate.
Right. Yeah, because you mentioned the patient comes in, and frequently people will come in, either parents bringing children or adults self-referring, and they come in and say, I'm really anxious. I just need some of those strategies to deal with my anxiety, to manage my stress or my anxiety or my fears or my phobias. And I just need for you to give me some techniques. And the three that we typically talk about are and the people know about from popular media, controlled breathing. There's something about breathing that helps, meditation, and visualization. And those are the three that we typically talk about. Now, it's easy enough for hand individuals these kinds of techniques, but there's a the these strategies are not like Xanax and Valium, and many people don't understand it. These strategies are not meant to be a quick fix that you use just when you're in a crisis. If you have a panic attack and you just can't pull one of these techniques out and stop the panic attack, it simply doesn't work that way.
It's so we get those we have those conversations with patients or folks who come in all the time because you're absolutely right. People come in with like this idea that, well, just tell me something that I can do that makes it go away immediately. And it doesn't, I don't know that there's anything that really works that way
Nothing.
aside from a medication. I mean, if you were hospitalized and you started experiencing that, somebody could give you a shot in less than a minute. You're
Oh.
fine, if not going to sleep. But in outside of the hospital and in
Right.
what we call the real world, there's just really isn't anything like that outside of medication.
That's right. I had a years. Oh my gosh, I was young, maybe in my 20s. And I had bronchitis, and I had a it must have been a panic attack. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get enough oxygen, and so I must have had a panic attack. And they gave me an injection of something. In those, it was probably Valium, and I mean, within seconds, I didn't care. But I had no cares in the world, and I said, I'll take as much of that as you have, because it was just almost instantly all those feelings went away, and I got my breathing back. That's what people are frequently asked for with these other strategies. They know that there's some technique that they can use to, but it's not going to work that way.
I
These
think that I think that what we what our society is like right now is everyone wants that quick, easy fix.
absolutely. I'm in a hurry. I have things to do. I don't have time for this. I've got to feel better right now. And so whatever you have to do, do it, and let me get on with things. And also, people will come in and say, I don't want to deal with stuff. I just want strategies to deal with my anxiety. I don't want to delve into anything. I don't want to dig any deeper. I just want some strategies that I could use. I don't, and they'll say that for their children. You know, all we want is we want him to have some techniques that he can use when he gets upset. Or on the other hand, you get people who come in and say, I know all the strategies. I want to know what's really wrong. So on the other, at the other end of that spectrum, you have people who say, I don't want strategies. I want to figure out what's really wrong.
Right.
So, and that's what we want. We want to find out, why do you have anxiety? Why are you, excuse me,
Bless
our
you.
office, our offices were cleaned this weekend. And so it's too clean in here. And so I'm reacting to cleanliness. And so, we get both groups. And what we want people to do is to say to us, let's figure out why you're anxious, because anxiety comes from feelings of either being overwhelmed, you just feel completely overwhelmed by life, or you're powerless to do anything about it.
Right. Yeah, and I think that it's so it just to sort of pull back the curtains a little bit and so people see some of this a little bit, that it's so interesting from our perspective, because what happens is people come in and Richard, they will say exactly what you just said. I don't I've tried the strategies. I've tried deep breathing, and it just doesn't work. I've tried this and it just doesn't work. Or I've tried that and it doesn't help me at all. And I'll say something along the lines of, "Well, show me how you do deep breathing." And they'll go, "Okay, that's not what this is about." But again, it's the idea that I need something to help me immediately. I need something to help me in that exact moment of panic or stress. And so even their deep breathing is hurried. And it's like, and it's because they feel that feeling of being overwhelmed or feeling powerless to do anything about what's going on with them. And so they just, they just want some fix, some quick fix. But what our real goal is with managing anxiety, and this is one of the reasons that we're talking about this now, is because, hopefully while you're listening to this podcast, you're not in a moment of panic or intense anxiety, because it's at this moment that you need to start working on some of these things. You
When
want
you're
to start
not
working on this
panicked.
when you're not anxious.
That's right. Our goal, so again, we say the strategies don't work like medicine. They don't work like these quick, immediate relievers. Anxiety is a response. You're either overwhelmed or you feel impotent, you feel helpless, you feel powerless. So the goal is 2 R's, reconnecting and regaining. So remember, you want to do 2 R's, reconnecting and regaining. The techniques we use are designed to manage anxiety, and they're aimed at 2 things. When we say the 2 R's, reconnecting, what do we mean by reconnecting? Reconnecting is you begin with becoming more aware of yourself. This is where you start to figure out, why am I feeling anxious? Why am I feeling depressed? Because what happens is, the more anxious you are, the more depressed you are, the less aware you are of your circumstances. You're overwhelmed, you're powerless, and you can't sort stuff out. So the first thing you have to do is you have to reconnect with yourself, and you go from self-awareness to self-efficacy. That means, once I understand why I'm feeling this way, what's going on in my life, I can then do something about it. So we go from self-awareness to self-efficacy.
Right.
That's reconnecting.
And I hope to emphasize that, because when you say, when a person comes in, and Richard, I know that we are very similar in the way that we feel about some of these things, and vocabulary and the way that we talk to ourselves is extremely important. So if you tell yourself deep breathing doesn't work, Well, every time you try to use deep breathing as a technique to relieve your anxiety, it's not going to work because you're already telling yourself that it's not going to work. You have to remember that so many of these things are mental. They are in your brain. They are the way that you're thinking about things. And if all you're thinking about is this isn't working, this isn't going to help, this isn't going to make things any better, you're probably going to be right. It's probably not
Or
going to help you.
if you're so anxious or so depressed and you say, I can't do anything about it, I can't do anything about it, I can't, then you won't do anything about it.
Right.
Okay. And that's the problem, is there is a circularity to this that it feeds on itself. You know, I can't, I can't, I can't, and you can't, you
And
know.
that's how it gets to that second R of regaining control of your brain. And you
Right.
have to regain control of your brain through with your thoughts and just calming that system down
That's
so
right.
that you have control over what's happening in your thoughts and mind.
Right. And so if you think about the two R's, reconnecting with yourself, self-awareness, and regaining control of your brain, that's what the techniques are designed to do. Okay, that's what you want to regain control. But when you're in crisis, you can't just grab these techniques like it's a spoon or a tool or an implement. And if you haven't mastered the techniques, you're not going to be able to use them.
Right.
And I want to emphasize that, because what you do is you practice the techniques so that they become reliable tools, and then you can use them when you're in crisis. You don't get into crisis and then start doing deep breathing. You have to practice deep breathing. You have to practice. If you're going to meditate, if you're going to do yoga, you have to practice the technique until you've mastered it so that you can use it in a time of crisis. You can't
Absolutely.
just pull it off the shelf in a time of crisis and expect it to do anything.
Right. And so, as I said a moment ago, the idea is that you start these techniques now. You start using these techniques and practicing them when you're not in crisis, when you're not feeling that overwhelming anxiety. And in doing so, you do two things. One thing is you are practicing, obviously, and you're practicing and you're getting better at it. And so you that strategy becomes more readily available in your arsenal of tools and strategies. But the second thing that it does, and this is sort of a little bit more subtle, but you will absolutely notice it, and that is it lowers your baseline level of stress. So the more that you practice it, even when you're not in those moments of crisis, what you'll find is you go into those moments of crisis far less often because you're lowering that overall stress that you're experiencing, and you don't get to that elevated level as often. And so
Yeah,
you
but
be doing these things all the time, every
right.
day at just practicing it periodically throughout the day.
Right. What I tell my patients is you have to continue to push your brain to calm. It's real good at being anxious. It's real good at being depressed. What you want to do is you want to show it where calm is. This is where calm, and you keep pushing your brain to calm. You use these techniques day in and day out to push your brain, to show your brain where calm is. Now, you can't do this. We talk about the brain and changing the brain and neuroplasticity. I love when ads come on TV about neuroplasticity. You can reconnect and you can regain control of your brain, but those things don't happen without effort and practice. And I think that's the second important message in this, is if you want to use these techniques, you first of all have to learn them. And to learn them, it takes effort and practice, and you have to be willing to do that. I'm probably one of the worst. I, like everybody else, I want immediate relief. But I know in my head, I know that if I want to manage my anxiety, I've got to practice these techniques. And I don't want to practice. I don't want to go to the gym every day. I don't want to, be uncomfortable. And that's what you're doing. You're giving something up to practice this, and you don't want to give something up, and you don't want to spend the time practicing. I don't have time to practice. Well, you have to make time to practice, because if you don't, if you don't master the strategies, you're never going to be able to use them in a crisis. Okay.
Absolutely.
So if you want to use these, You did two things. Number one, you have to find what works for you.
Right. And
I
that can
tell
be lots
people,
of.
we have to meditate. I didn't go to meditate. That's for liberals. That's for tree huggers. I'm not a hippie. I'm not going to meditate. Then don't meditate. You have to find what works for you. That's number one.
And it could be lots of different things. It could be meditation. It could be deep breathing. It could be yoga. It could be,
Right.
using, there type in meditation in the app store, your favorite app store, whichever one you use, and you'll get hundreds of hits. You'll get hundreds of examples of different apps you can use. So there's lots of different ways to use, or lots of different strategies that you can use
Right.
for this. So just find the one that works for you. It doesn't matter what it is.
Find something that works. I tell people, you have to do this 15 minutes a day. Well, I don't have 15 minutes. Okay, then do it 15 times a day for 1 minute.
Yeah.
Whatever fits your schedule, and do what works for you. For many people, prayer is a way of meditating. I mean, that's a form of meditation. You don't have to sit there and just repeat the same syllable over and over again. You might find that prayer calms you. You
Right.
might find that thinking about going fishing calms you. Whatever works for you is what you have. That's the first thing you have to do, is you have to find that. Once you've found what you don't mind doing, because that's the other thing about wanting to practice, if you find something that you like doing, that work that you enjoy doing, you're more likely to do it. So first of all, find out what works for you. Second, practice it daily until it becomes second nature, that you can just think about it and it calms you almost instantly. But you do that when you're calm. You have to practice when you're calm. So first of all, find what works. Second, practice it daily.
Yeah, and so you mentioned a moment ago, practicing it a couple of times a day. It's we often think that we don't have 10 or 15, 20 minutes
Right.
to practice this. And for some people that may be difficult. And if it is, start with 5 minutes. I worked with a person before, and he was certainly an outlier, but it started out with just 5 minutes, just for
Yeah.
5 minutes, sit in your truck before you go into the next. Your next job, and just sit there for 5 minutes and just take some deep breaths, and just sort of center yourself. It started out with that, and it ended up where, he would take his lunch break and he would spend half of his lunch break, 30 minutes, meditating.
Right.
And again, that's a little bit of an outlier, because that's a long time to meditate in the middle of the day, but he found it effective, and he made it a priority that he would eat his food fast enough so that he could spend that 30 minutes meditating during lunch so that he would be able to make it through the rest of the day.
Right. Yeah, in the article that we're going to post in the show notes, they suggest that you set aside 20 minutes twice a day to practice. Now, I'm one of those, that's going to be hard for me to do. I just, when I hear 20 minutes twice a day, I panic. Then do it for 2 minutes. It's like, if you've never run before, if you haven't run since you were a child, you don't begin by running a 10K or a 5. You begin by running however far you can run. It might be a, when I began running 80 and 90 years ago, I began with a quarter of a mile. Okay. And I had my wife with me, and I said, why don't you come with me? Because if I die of a heart attack, you'll be there, and you can pick up the remains. And so she was there in case I had a problem. But I began by slowly running a quarter of a mile, after, and then you run a half a mile, and then a mile. It's the same thing with this. You don't begin by doing 50 push-ups. You begin by doing one push-up. And so start where you can with what you enjoy doing, and build up your practice time until you get really good at it. So it's like any other kind of exercise that you might do. So step one is you choose what you don't mind doing, that you're willing to do. And step two is forcing yourself to get to calm. Imagine a young child who has, say, a 4, 5, 6-year-old who's having difficulty with emotional regulation. W teach that child to get to calm. Have those times when, okay, let's center, let's calm, and you very calmly work through that. And you're showing the child how to get to calm. And so, whether you're working with a child or an adult, you do these same things, but you have to practice daily until you get good at it. We need to teach some children how to get to calm.
Right. One of the simple techniques that we use for that, And this is especially good for kids because you can use a visual, you can use a piece of paper that just basically has a square on it. And it's just called square breathing. But you either draw or you trace around the square. And as you draw one line for about 4 seconds, you take a deep, you inhale for 4 seconds. And then as you go down the side, you hold it for 4 seconds. And then as you go across the bottom, you exhale for 4 seconds. And then as you come back up the other side, you sort of relax for 4 seconds. And then you do it again. Then you take a deep breath for 4 seconds and hold it for 4 seconds. And you just practice this a few times a day. And we talk about it working for kids. It works for adults as well because it's just a nice little structure. It gives you something to visualize, something to think about that's not maybe what's stressing you out. But it's a way to regain some control over your breathing and just your overall thought pattern.
Yeah, and what you just said, that four square, the square, you got four square breathing. What it does is as you practice it, you start to believe in its efficacy. You start to say, oh, yeah, I do feel better. Okay. And if you get better and better at it, you can use it more quickly. You can use it more often. And you say, wow, that really, I do feel better. I do feel more calm when I do this. Now, when you have a crisis, now when you're starting to get anxious, now when you're starting to feel like you're ready to panic, now you can pull that out and say, I know what to do about this. And that's just one technique. That's one simple technique. There are dozens of techniques like that. You can learn multiple techniques and you can use them at different times, but you have to get good at it and you have to believe in it. If I don't believe that something can do that work for me, it's not going to work. But if I show myself, if I demonstrate to myself that it does work, then when I really need it, I can use it.
Yeah, I think the idea of believing it will work is it just in it's not that you're tricking yourself. It
No.
just helps to increase integrity, the integrity of your attempt. It's like if you're just sitting there thinking this isn't going to work, you're not really going to be taking the deep breath. You're not really going to be relaxing. You're going to be thinking this is stupid. This
Yeah,
isn't
that's right, and that's exactly
just It's just going to keep your anxiety going. It's not going to help you relax. And so
right.
you say, I'm going to give this a shot. We'll see if it works. There is, and we can, we would be happy to share the articles with you. There are plenty of articles and research papers that demonstrate the efficacy of these kinds of strategies. And so they are effective when they're used properly. So our take-home message for all of this is sort of three things. Get back in touch with yourself, learn a strategy that's going to help you get to calm, and it's those three things: getting in touch with yourself so that you can learn a strategy and get back to calm. That's the goal.
Yeah, because we talk about mindfulness. Mindfulness isn't a tool. It's not a trick. It's not a parlor trick. It's a lifestyle. It's a way for you to think about yourself, to think about your life, to know what works for you. But it takes practice. You have to work at this. And you don't just yank it off the shelf or pull it out of your pocket when you're in a panic mode. This is something you have to do every day. Choose something you want to do, choose something that works for you and that you don't mind doing. And you'll use it. You'll use it daily, and it'll be there when you really need it.
And you'll use it and use it effectively, but you have to learn it first. You have to practice it
Exactly.
so that you and your body, thinking about those two things differently. The way that you think and the way that your body feels are two different things sometimes. And that's going to help with both of those pieces. If you're familiar and you understand the technique and you've practiced it so that your body is used to how it feels when it's working. So,
Exactly.
right.
Okay.
Well, that is it for today. Good luck with everyone using that strategy. Those of you who are worried about some of those final exams and the end of the school year types of things, use those strategies. Start using them now so that when you get to those final exams, you can use them before you sit down and take that test and hopefully find yourself a little bit of calm as you're answering all those questions. So, all right.
Yep. Stay calm.
That's right. We'll be back next week. Until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.